welcome to episode 22 of the Brothers Podcast.
Oh shit, Brothers Podcast.
It's the Brothers Podcast. We have changed our name officially. No, I'm just kidding. It's Praise the Game, your source for news, trends, events in the gaming industry.
Oh shit.
I'm Nick Mahalsis, joined by the Burrell Brothers and my brother, Ari.
Hello.
He was blowing that air horn, which I assume you are going to hear a lot during this episode.
No. It's fairly obvious.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah,
I haven't actually realized until now that we now have two brothers and two brothers.
It's just four brothers.
Four brothers.
We should start
in
a scrap metal company.
Yeah.
Four brothers scrap metal.
Yeah, Ari buys what it, am I gonna sells do? It, and scraps it.
You know, you got to be like, what am I going to do with all this podcast? I don't know, daughter. You got to go get the brothers.
Yeah, just throw the podcast in the trash.
Yeah, in the trash. Okay, so from today's episode, we have our, you know, our regular gaming news.
A whole bunch of bullshit.
A bunch of bullshit with some release dates and other bullshit. And there's some good stuff in there too, but there's also a lot of bullshit. And then we're going to move on to what's loaded up, what we've been playing.
Yep.
And then we'll round it off with our topic of the day, which is the busy gamer,
yes.
Which we specifically picked in relation to having my older brother, Ari, on the cast. Now, Ari, what would you describe as your gaming style?
Well, thank you, Nick.
Gaming style.
I think I'd definitely be described as a diet hardcore.
Diet hardcore. That is sick. The best. Fucking hardcore. Sick.
All right, so light hardcore, medium diet.
Diet
so,
hardcore.
So what does that mean?
It's like I don't play a lot of games.
Okay.
So definitely I'm a little bit older than you guys. I'm in my 30s, so I play very few, but when I do, I like to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Like Dos Equis.
Yes.
Like that scene in
Office
Space.
I don't often play games, but when I do,
what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I smash them into oblivion.
So you really pick and choose the types of games that you play.
Definitely.
And that reflects your palette. What kind of games do you like to play?
I'm always a big platformer and RPG fan.
You sound so much better now, by the way, I'm noticing.
Thank you. I'm working on
beautiful.
My voice.
You're fucking beautiful, dude. So yeah, RPGs. I'm sure we see a lot of trickle-down tastes to Nick. I'm not sure. I know for a fact.
No, yeah, definitely.
So, like, what was your first gaming console? Was that the... Not the
console.
NES.
Oh, my very first console?
Yeah.
Game Gear.
Actually, it was Game Gear.
Oh, shit. Okay. I had a Game Gear.
Sonic on Game Gear.
I had one. I had the Jurassic Park game. It was kind of like Turok, but shittier. And I think I think it was a side scroller.
There was some
Game Gear. The Game Gear was cool, but it had 900 batteries.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And the screen, I remember the screen was really nice on the Game Gear. Like the colors were really vivid, but it just was like a shitty Game Boy kind of.
Yeah, it was pretty bulky too, I remember.
It looked more like a Switch. It was more like,
you know. But it had a color screen.
Yeah, it was lit. It was fucking beautiful. The screen was really good.
It's kind of like a Vita in a way.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a Switch. It was like tablet-y, bulky-ass piece of plastic.
Yeah.
Felt cheap.
So, Ari, do you have a single game that you put onto the pedestal as probably your favorite game or not really?
Oh, shit.
Probably PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
Liar.
Sick,
dude, sick.
I'd like to talk about that for 20 minutes if I could.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he's roasting us live.
That in a
Breath
of the Wild.
Let me tell you about how I only played Battlegrounds.
Yeah, let me tell you how my dignity just got stepped on by my brother.
Yeah, smash this.
So I know Nick's favorite game of all time was Final Fantasy VII. Do you hold that game in high regard?
Of course. My favorite game?
Some more?
Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. Shit. Stay woke.
Yo, what? Who didn't see that coming?
Oh, my God.
Wait, well, you're wearing a Sonic
shirt. It's not Sonic 2?
It's true.
We're both wearing Sonic shirts.
Hold on a second. Which one of you likes that game more?
Oh,
Battle Royale.
You're going to get it.
that's how you get it.
Oh, my God.
Well,
Ari,
you've lost control.
Ari will hold to the fact, and I think I agree with him, that Final Fantasy VII taught me how to read.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah, that was awesome.
So I think Ari's going to have to not win by default because I learned how to read from it.
Yeah. Positive educational experience.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know you guys are both wearing Sonic shirts right now, but Nick has told us stories of how you used to like let him believe he was kind of playing, but he was just playing his Tails.
That's Sonic 2, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And actually, we're going to plan to do that with my wife when Sonic Mania comes out.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Tails.
Oh, really?
And she plays as Sonic, yeah.
How does it
feel? Sonic and Tonic, that's what they call it. That's their gaming series, Sonic and Tonic.
We drink and play Sonic.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
It's fucking dope, isn't it? Isn't that like a good stream name? Sonic and Tonic?
Yeah, dude. All right, you want to go to the news?
Yeah, what's in the gaming news? The news.
All right. So, release dates. We have Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, coming to the PlayStation 4 on July 11th on Tuesday.
This has become more and more interesting to me. I don't really know why. I mean, Nick has been telling me all about Final Fantasy 15, and I played 13, and I've played Final Fantasy 14, the MMO.
You played 10 as well.
I'm kind of going back. Andrew Birthday gifted me Final Fantasy 7, so I'm kind of like going back into the backlog of Final Fantasy games. But Nick, you kind of gave me like a hesitant, like, I don't know if you should play this one or not. You guys
fucking ask Ari. Both fucking played, sitting right there.
What? You guys both played this game?
Is that the one with
Why
lightning?
Didn't you pick up 12? Why didn't I pick up 12?
So you didn't play it.
It really broke with the conventions of Final Fantasy.
We played like at Ari's friend Mike Deschamps, right? He fucking loved it, didn't he?
He loved it, yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to get into it. I don't know.
Was it trying to be too different than the usual formula?
So what they like to do right before 12 was 11, which was an MMO.
Yeah.
So what they wanted to do was create a single player MMO.
Oh.
So the exploration, the battle system, it's very reminiscent of an MMO.
Shitty quest, but no friends.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, why would you do that?
Exactly.
You know? It sounds bad to me.
Yeah.
I know there are...
This is bad and you should feel bad.
This reskin isn't going to make it any better. That's why I'm hesitant still on it.
Yeah. Well, you mean the way that the mechanics are? Like in your character customization?
Well, no, because like, why would you play an MMO? I mean, people play MMO single player all the time.
Yeah.
But there's, even if you do that, there's social things that you can participate in, like the marketplace and whatnot, but like, in Final Fantasy XII, you're not playing with anybody else.
No, so the game is kind of
defeats
flat
the purpose. Yeah,
for you.
Yeah. Mm. Well, so I guess you guys aren't buying that. But if you are, let us know.
Square.
also on Tuesday the 11th, we have Hunting Simulator coming out on PS4, Xbox.
Oh
and
shit!
PC. You know,
that scared me.
Wait, so Hunting Sim? Who's what?
I put it on here because it's like vaguely
is it like
interest.
Is it Dulles?
I had like a brief moment where I was sort of like, oh, I wanted to get these fishing games. And I played the Cabela's game a little bit. This was like
base hunter or whatever
ago.
The fuck it's called.
Oh, they had other hunting games. I don't know. I figured I'd put it on here, just throw a bone to some sports type games if you can.
Is it just like all hunting or is it like
hunting bears and forests and such?
Do you hunt deer?
Yeah. I bet you hunting games will work pretty good in VR now.
Oh, yeah. Hell, I know. That's something to consider.
I've seen
PlayStation Duel, though.
Oh, my God. That would be pretty good for it, actually. Hunting Simulator. Then we have Black the Fall, which, Pete, you've been telling me a bunch about.
Yeah, this game it was distributed by Square Enix, and it was kickstarted online, and it's sort of like a dystopian communist game. It looks like a mix between Limbo or Inside and Nier Automata, which looks such a weird.
You said that to me, and I don't understand that.
Okay, so it's very dark and silhouetted in the way that Limbo and Inside are, but at the same time, there's this sort of like quasi dystopian, futuristic, burnt out type of like society look that you find in Nier, and there's also like automatons and stuff like that.
Oh shit!
So I got like a real blended look like that. You know, maybe. You know, Square's putting out these games, but it looks good to me, Andrew. I think you might be interested most of all.
I want
it
on the Switch.
Yeah, it's not on the Switch.
It's not on the Switch, but
you didn't say Switch.
But it is really coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on Tuesday, July the 11th.
Yes, it is.
Following that, we also have Death Squared.
Why are you crazy?
That fake laugh hurt me inside.
Yeah, air horn.
Please don't do that ever again.
Yeah, thank you, Ari. So Death Squared, this game's coming to Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC on Thursday the 13th.
Yeah, this is a zany puzzle game.
Zany.
Which I think puzzle
games...
Did you
use the word zany?
Yes, I did.
Fuck
Wild
yes.
and crazy inflatable two-man arm guy.
Yeah.
Zanerific.
Oh my God. I think puzzle games will work well for Switch.
Yeah. I'll get it.
Yeah, get it.
Just everything. Anything that hits the Switch, I'm just like, new thing I could play on the train, I'm down.
Yeah.
So piggybacking off of Switch and going into the general news, mm-hmm. Splatoon 2 had a direct this week. They revealed more about the gear abilities, the weapons and game modes and stuff. One thing that kind of bothered me and made me upset about this was the Salmon Rush mode, which is essentially the zombies mode.
It's like a horde
mode. It's only at certain times during the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You can't, like, you can't just do zombie mode whenever. It's like 5 p.m. on Tuesday.
The full moon rises.
Why? I don't understand. Maybe it's my only thing, my only idea with that is to avoid people getting, like, too much XP from doing this. But even so, it's a game mode. Why wouldn't you want people to do it all the time?
I mean, the topic of the day is the busy gamer. And if you can't have the time set apart to do that mode on that specific day, then you're kind of missing out on a whole facet of the game.
Right.
It's kind of cheap.
Ew, holy
like,
shit.
I think that's not fair to some players.
Sick. If that was a segue, it'd be sick.
Yeah, it would. But it also kind of it bothers me, too, because I played the Splatoon 2 demo and the ARMS demos, and they were the same thing. It was like 5 p.m. on Thursday. You can play, but if you sign in 2 minutes too late, you can't play it. And I'm like, well, fuck, I'm not buying this game. It pissed me off now. Yeah. But I ended up buying both.
Yeah, you love ARMS.
Yeah, I do love ARMS.
Yeah, and you ended up buying Thimbleweed Park on the Steam sale.
I did.
But now it's coming to Switch.
There it is. Sick
segue.
They
announced that it's going to come to Switch. It's so mobile.
Of course, I was buying these indie games, and you're like, yeah, but what about the Switch, though? I was like, I just want to get them. I've heard good things. This is like a Twin Peaksy X-Files-esque sort of side-scroller story game, akin to that, what was it, that you played? I always forget the damn name.
Night in the Woods.
Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. I guess I'll buy it again because I just want it mobile. Any game like that, I feel like, works on the Switch. But then they also teased Bayonetta coming out on the Switch.
Well, sort of teased. Platinum Games put out an image. Wait, sorry. Was it Platinum? Am I messing up here? Yes. Sorry, my brain messing up. On Twitter, and it was an image of the main character with the guns, a red on top and a blue on bottom background, which is reminiscent of the Switch controllers. And people were messaging them like, hey, we're going to have Bayonetta 1 and 2 on Switch, or maybe this is alluding to Bayonetta 3 coming to the Switch. Bayonetta 2 was an exclusive to the Wii U. People are speculating that will hop over.
Probably more likely Bayonetta 1 and 2 coming to Switch.
I think that is very likely.
That'd be dope.
Because Reggie from Nintendo has said, we're looking at other Switch ports from the Wii U to come to Switch. That seems very likely to me. And not only that, but all the comments that people were saying, like, hey, is this going to come to Switch? Platinum was just, like, liking all of them. Just being
trolling.
Really,
they're fucking trolling.
I mean, this seems like... I haven't played the Bayonetta games. Did you guys start it? I know you guys got it on the Steam sale. No?
I haven't started it yet.
Okay. I mean, this is really anticipated by a lot of people, and I am excited to see more Wii U ports over to the Switch.
As am I. Telltale says it's possible for other games to come to Switch along with what was the one that they were talking about that was
Minecraft?
Coming? Minecraft.
Well, yeah, they had Minecraft story mode.
So, of course, the Switch, again, so much fucking Switch news. There's just, of course, it's a great platform for that sort of game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they could eventually do a collection. They did one on the Vita. They did the Walking Dead series on the Vita, I remember, which was cool. If you're into that sort of game, I think the Borderlands one is really well regarded. It came out for free on PlayStation Plus, I believe, as well. So that's cool news. Lots of just cool Switch news. Mm-hmm. On top of that, ARMS. In ARMS, it's like, you know, you do the typical... The campaign is not really a campaign. You basically just fight through a series of fights.
Sort of like Smash Brothers.
Right. And then the last boss, similar to like Master Hand or something, is this dude called Max Brass. And mm-hmm. he's like, you know, in the lore, is like the dude organizing the tournament. And he's badass and he's cool.
Yep. Classic fighting game.
Right.
Of course. Well, he's going to be a DLC character. And he's the first DLC character coming for free on July 12th.
Yeah. Which is really cool because I play this game every day. On the train, so I'm totally down. I've been saying since I bought it and played him, I was like, I want to fight as this dude. He seems pretty OP, but I'm assuming they'll tone him down in the regular game.
Yeah,
I guess
maybe.
I don't know.
In the bus, but his fight seems like he had
You can't know. I mean, Street Fighter didn't tone down Bison.
Oh, true.
You could just Psycho Crusher to win. Yeah, definitely not. Exactly.
Well, let me ask you guys something, because Nick, you might be getting a Switch soon, right?
Yep.
Big are reveal.
You? So
maybe
because you want something to play during your lunch hour.
Are you segueing into this right now?
No.
Come on, dude. We got so much news to cover.
I just want to bring this up because Sirens. Nick, you might be getting a Switch soon, and I know Sonic Mania is a game that you and Ari are really excited for, and that's going to be coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Ari, do you think you might eventually get a Switch too?
This is such a random tangent.
I'm actually kind of past my Switch days.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't think that's something?
My timing is just, we'll get into it later.
We'll talk about this later because I have reasons why you might want one.
Okay.
But anyway, so.
What the fuck, Pete?
PS4.
No, because there's so much Switch news this week.
All right. So PS4 exclusive Gundam Versus has a new trailer. It's coming September 29th.
Yep. The trailer's out now. It looked pretty cool to me.
Gundam games are cool.
Classic.
Assassin's Creed Origins is getting a novel, comic series, an art book, and a
Oranges?
Guide. Yeah, yeah, Assassin's Origins. Creed Oranges.
Oranges.
Oh, I would play the shit out of that game.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck this stupid ass Egypt. I want to play just like a man killing oranges.
Yeah.
Fruit Ninja, but Assassin's Creed.
Is that how orange juice is made? You just smashing oranges?
Yeah, dude.
You skipped over. So the devs from Cuphead confirmed that it's not going to be coming to PS4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God
so
damn
it's
it.
A console exclusive. Have you seen this game, Cuphead?
I love the art direction.
Me too, so
it's
much.
Fantastic.
And apparently it's very difficult. Well, yeah. Which I'm into, because I've been playing games like Shovel Knight and Cave Story, both of which very difficult, and I'm so down for that style. I love the art direction, and I'm totally getting it on PC, because fuck mm-hmm. Xbox. Just kidding. I have no allegiances. Anyway.
Just kidding. I have no allegiances.
Well, yeah,
looks at his PC longingly.
The art style is very interesting. It's hand-drawn, and it looks like a 1920s-ish 1920s, cartoon.
30s. It looks almost like
early Mickey Mouse type thing.
Popeye, like almost like Popeye-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
Really exaggerated, cool. Yeah, that game looks super sweet. That's been in development for like 3 years now. I remember it was like a two E3s ago.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed is also getting an anime, and it's being developed by the Castlevania showrunner Adi Shankar.
Yeah.
How do you feel
have
about
you
that?
You guys have seen a little bit of this Castlevania show. I haven't seen it myself.
I only saw the fact that they just put it on Netflix.
Oh,
I didn't know it was coming.
I mean,
me neither.
It looks interesting. I don't know.
I'm kind of for animes in regard to adaptations. We had a whole episode about this, but I think if you put it into another medium where it's like animated in a way, then that kind of works rather than live action. So I'm excited to see how this pans out, especially if they're considering it an anime, just because I like anime style better than like Western cartoon style.
Well, also the Doomfist reveal trailer was really cool, and I feel like you were super into that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on What's Floated Up, because Doomfist did come out, but they had this awesome reveal trailer that looked almost like Boondocks as far as the animation style. And it just made me really, really, really want to have Blizzard make an anime for
just
Overwatch.
Just straight up.
Yeah. I don't know.
Pretty weird.
Awesome. Halo 5 is getting 4K support on the Xbox One X.
4K.
Holy shit.
Is it all right, this true isn't, 4K?
Yes, probably. But this isn't surprising at all, because the game looks like trash, in my opinion. They did that because the Xbox One original base Xbox.
They wanted that 60 frames, right?
They wanted the 60 frames. They tried to make, with Halo 6, or Halo 5, they really went for the esports style. I really liked Halo 5's combat, but it did feel a bit like a departure to me, because it was very arena based. The maps were very bland and not really like full of life, in my opinion. They kind of just felt more like you could see someone streaming it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that this is a big deal at all. I'm sure it wasn't very difficult to get this game at 4K, because it really didn't look amazing in the first place, in my opinion. I think other Halo games have looked better even. But I understand their idea of like, we want to get into esports with Halo. It just wasn't particularly for me.
Yeah.
Then we also have a new Total War series announced.
Yeah. They showed off some footage. It looks like they're scaling it down to be more of like almost like a Kingdom Under Fire, or just like on the battlefield. If you've seen this game, Mountain Blade.
Yeah, your favorite.
I like it. It looks sort of similar to that. So it's not as much like, oh, like huge, giant, sweeping battles. It's still going to be large. And they said that they're going to be pulling iconic battles from the previous games for this. But they are scaling it down in a way.
Total War series was a series that made me get a PC. Made her parents maybe
yell
at my parents.
Yeah, we used to play Rome Total War.
Well, yeah, because first I started playing, I don't know, lots of games, if you go back on PC, like Diablo 2 and shit like that. But then I remember specifically playing Rome Total War at a friend's house and being like, oh my God, there's thousands of units on the screen and they're battling. And at the end of the day, it's kind of a boring, like not the best game.
Well, yeah, I mean, that being said, the units didn't have like such amazing graphical detail.
It was amazing for the day. I remember.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying nowadays I would prefer maybe if you had fewer soldiers, but if you upped the graphical quality, made it look realistic, had the animations for the actual battles on the field be better, I'd more for quality over quantity.
Yeah, I think it was during the time when quantity was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was like, we've got a billion units on screen. It doesn't matter if they look like potatoes. There's just so many. And now they're killing each other.
So many potatoes.
Yeah.
At the same time, Rome Total War series had a sort of very specific way to go about the RTS genre rather than, you know, like StarCraft or whatever. So I'm hoping that they don't deviate too far from what their, you know, that core feeling of what their this franchise was.
Indeed. Well, on that note, with all that news up in there, why don't we move on to What's Loaded Air?
Ow! What's Loaded Air?
What's Loaded Air? So let's start with Ari, because I saw and I've been meaning to play this. Meaning to play this game, but you beat Life is Strange recently, right?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that game?
So I'm kind of
episodic game.
A sucker for indie games.
Yeah,
and indie in general. Like I love Eternal Sunshine and The Spotless Mind.
Yeah,
Little Miss Sunshine. I
like
just,
thematically too.
I just eat that shit up.
Eat
give
that
me
shit
an
up.
Arpeggiated guitar score any day.
Oh yes,
which is. That's all over the place in Life is Strange.
Life is Strange basically is that in a game. So the story was fantastic. Yeah. The visuals were great. The music was great. There was a little bit of a tonality problem in the last chapter, but other than that, I loved it.
Was it full of cliches like it looks like?
It is constant cliche, and you have to kind of treat it as a guilty pleasure, but if once you buy in, it's fantastic.
Cool. You know, these games where you make decisions, honestly, I don't really mind that if you're making the decisions, if there are cliches. Like, Until Dawn is one of our favorite games.
Which
that game
is free right now on the PSN store,
did
by
you
the
ever,
way.
Yeah, have you played Until Dawn, Ari?
I have not.
Oh, we got to do a playthrough. We've done it with everyone.
Everyone's got to take a seat.
Did you want to play this game because of the E3 announcement for the new one? Like,
I got
preparation?
It. PS Plus.
Oh, yeah, I did there a few months ago, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it, too, because of that. But you also have Shantae, half genie hero, on here.
Yes.
What the heck?
All right, so I'm also a sucker for 2D platformers.
Okay. It kind of looks like Sonic.
Sucker is an understatement. Ari will drive to the house and then be like, yo, did you play Freedom Planet yet? Which is like another knockoff Sonic. And be like, no, I didn't even install it.
It's fantastic.
I get out of the shower, he's installing it on my computer. He's just sitting there like, hey, you're going to play it now.
Is that what you do? You just like force him? You're like, you know what? Here it is. It's on your computer. You don't have a choice now.
Yes, that's how the MUDs got on my computer too.
As an older brother, I feel responsible for his gaming education.
You're going to learn today, boy.
Yeah, that's essentially what happens.
Well, Shantae, you're playing it on what, PC?
Playing it on the PS4.
Oh, correct. PS4, yes.
Console game rules. Anyway, continue.
How do you feel about it? Do you like it?
I really like it, but I found that it was too easy, and that actually kind of turned me off.
GG, too easy.
Do you think
easy.
Part of that is
GG,
because
too easy
of your experience with 3D platformers?
No, I played the previous Shantae game, The Pirate's Curse, and it was kind of like a Metroidvania. It was really good, and it was just the right difficulty. The curve was great. The tools were great. It was awesome. This one, if you rack just a little bit and get all the items, if you can do like halfway through, you're invincible.
You can be OP by the end of it.
Like literally invincible. They can't hurt you.
I really
like,
want
like,
you
actually,
to play.
That's the ability. You're invincible.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I want you to play Cave Story so bad. Because you hearing this now and knowing that you like that type of game, that and Shovel Knight, I keep saying to Nick too, I'm like, when you get a Switch, you have to get those games. Because Cave Story is so good. The curve is just right for that. It was hard enough where I was pissed a little bit and I was considering smashing my Switch on the ground. And then when I beat stuff,
don't do that.
I had that rush of like, yes, I did this.
That satisfaction.
That satisfaction. Whoa. I still haven't beaten Shovel Knight because the end, spoilers, is one big fucking boss rush.
Yeah.
And it's every single boss in a row, which is like 12 or 13. And you do get health in between, but some of them, I didn't win on the first try, and they're the same exact fight. So I was just, I'm not going to beat Shovel Knight probably. Maybe you can just beat it for me. But so this is also a random one on here, Andromeda. You've been playing Mass Effect?
Yeah, I really liked the original trilogy.
Yeah, so did I.
It made me buy into the Andromeda, even though I knew all the glitches, and to be honest, they are pretty crappy.
Well, they're you came there? Into this like a couple months after the launch,
right? Not necessarily. Ari almost lost a couple of saves.
Oh.
Like, towards the end, yeah.
Oh,
there's
shit.
Been glitching trophies, which pissed me off because I'm at like 77% achievements.
You wanna quiet it. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an okay game, but it's definitely brought down by the rush schedule.
Yeah, I started playing it, and I got a good, like, 20 hours into it, but then I was like, I'm going to stop and wait until they patch it, because they made that announcement, like, hey, we're going to fix our game 3 months afterwards. So I'm still waiting, and I'm probably going to play that soon. I'm kind of, like, trying to make up for lots of games that I haven't finished.
Yeah, the multiplayer is fun.
Yeah, and that's what you've been doing more recently?
More with my friends, they have it as well, yeah.
Did you play the multiplayer in the other games too?
I did, and actually it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think
it's pretty similar, right? It's like about the same.
Same thing.
Yeah, I think the multiplayer is fun. And they're going to have a new update soon where they're adding the Batarian race, which is, if you remember in the old games, they were kind of like a bounty hunter race that you could see on the Omega Station. They have like, I think like four eyes or something like that. Anyway, they're going to be a new class slash race for the game in the multiplayer.
Nick, more Japanese games for you?
It will always be Japanese games. I don't think there'll be a time when there isn't.
Arigato.
What? So Gravity Rush is the new one.
Gravity Rush 2, yeah.
How far did you get into it?
I played maybe about like 6 or 7% of it thus far. All I got to say is, which way is up?
Which way is up? I know that. Well,
that's what you said. Ari said that when I told him I was playing Gravity Rush. He was like, ooh, which way is up?
This game has very interesting physics because the main character, Kat, can kind of just, she can fly in the air, but like throw herself in a given direction.
You can pick which way gravity's pulling you. Yeah. So you're falling to your destination.
You're just flopping
and
around.
And so like when you get good at it, it's not bad, but there are definitely times like mid-combat where you're just like, I'm going to fucking vomit.
Well, the combat is very interesting. I played a little
review
bit
it?
Of it.
I think I'm going to review it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm enjoying it.
Flopping and kicking.
Yeah, and you're flopping and kicking.
It's like not necessarily, it is accurate, but it's like not like she's doing like actual martial arts knows. It's kind of like clumsily flopping through the air.
You'd think like that would be fast paced, but like a lot of the times when you tap R1, which is like nulls gravity completely, so you can just kind of line yourself up. Things slow down. It's kind of interesting that like you'd think it'd be just like frantic flopping around most of the time, which a lot of times it is, but there actually is some like a little bit of thinking.
Yeah.
Not too much.
It's really tropey, I've heard this game.
It is extremely.
Lots of screaming and ridiculousness.
Extremely tropey. There's no like voice acting straight up, like lines like for like the regular like dialogue. I mean, cutscenes there are, but like whenever someone speaks, there's like that one line.
Like, hey! Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those. So like every time the main character speaks, it's like, hey, dude!
Oh my god!
Constantly,
I don't know. I've heard that's hard to get over for some people.
It's a lot. I mean, it's. I mean, I'm used to it being a fan of Japanese games, but like other people would be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I can understand that. And then you got Civ 6 on the Steam sale.
Fuck it.
What do you think of it?
I like the art style a fuck ton.
Okay,
it kind of reminds me of Settlers of Catan a little bit. With the hexagons.
Nice. Yeah,
because the older Civ games that I had, I didn't have that, and now I just want someone to fucking play with.
I know. I'll get it eventually.
I want someone to play with.
Yeah, how long do people? How long do rounds last?
Somebody long.
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 Hours.
Well, long? We could have like a game between us for like a while.
No, I would. We could do that. What Richie, our friend, plays this game called Space Game where like they take like one day is like a turn or whatever.
Yeah.
And like they play over the course of like a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. And I was thinking we could do that something with Civ because if you try to sit down and play all of the game in one sitting, like between like the medieval era and the modern era, you're just sitting there fucking researching and farming.
The second someone gets a nuke, it's over, right?
If they're doing the military victory, but there's four ways to win, so that's not the only way.
I played one of the very old Civ games. I don't really remember, but I do remember there's like kind of this tendency for me to get burned out after playing it for a certain amount of time.
Kind of like Monopoly with Grandma.
Yeah. That's a really good way to
play it. I don't want
to
play that anymore. You flip the board. And then, I mean, of course, if you're playing it over the course of days with friends, it might seem like there's a long-winded win for somebody.
Maybe, but I don't know. I mean, like, it's like you play as India and like you're like, yeah,
and
peace and well-being, and you're like, I'm not gonna fight anyone, and then by like turn 500 you're like, fuck everyone else, I'm going to war.
Genocide. Take genocide and boredom, you take the genocide.
Boredom leads to genocide, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's actually not funny. Yeah, that's oh my god, that's fucking great. Can I get that like tattooed on me?
No. Sick on your forehead.
Boredom it's leads to genocide.
Stay well.
Horrible. So I got the band back together to play some Overwatch this week.
Yeah, because Doomfist is out.
Yep.
He's not Terry Crews, which some people are a little bit disappointed. But honestly, okay, so this character is a member of the Talon organization in the lore, which Reaper and Widowmaker are part of. And there's apparently this new, there's like an inner circle of Talon. He is from Nigeria, and they actually pulled a voice actor with Nigerian roots for the voice, which I think sounds good. We're only seeing some limited voice lines right now in the PTR.
Yep.
Which is the public test region that Andrew and I have been playing on. He's awesome. He's a DPS damage character. He has his fist, and he can propel himself forward. He has this meteor strike ultimate where he flies down into sort of like an like almost an artillery strike type thing.
Yeah, his moves combo really cool because you can do like an uppercut and then he floats a little bit and you get an aiming reticule on the floor where you could use his secondary, which or not his secondary, but his E attack if you play Overwatch, which basically just like smashes him down and like shatters the earth and like pulls people towards him. So he has like a really comboable moveset that's super fun. And if you hold down right click, he basically charges up his fist the longer you hold it. And if you hold it down and you you can one-shot people. I've one-shot people with 200 health with him before.
Yeah, also when they hit a wall, that does damage to them as well.
Which it really reminds me, and the reason I think I like playing him a lot is I used to main Roadhog.
Yeah.
So I was used to just getting a hook, like a one-shot, and then shooting somebody in the face with a shotgun and killing them.
Yeah.
So I'm really into the, like, charge up, be patient, and then knock somebody the fuck out. They go flying across the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's super fun. So you, me, our friend Mary Leia, who's on the cast,
yeah,
we played on the PTR recently, and it was great.
Yeah.
So it was funny because I texted our Discord group, and I was like, guys, you know, Doomfist is imminent. There's so much hype going on. Yeah. And then literally an hour later, they were like, he's out in the play test region. So I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I guess we got to play.
They put out like these fake articles of like from the universe of Overwatch. And it was like, oh, like there was a prison. Helix prison was Helix is a security company that actually the character Pharaoh works for. But one of their prisons was broken into and a guy escaped and that ended up being Doomfist. And they had a fake article about that. But Doomfist has existed in the lore of Overwatch since like the very beginning.
Right.
Before they even came out, they had like a cinematic trailer where Reaper and Widowmaker were trying to steal the Doomfist from a museum, and Winston and Tracer stopped them, and they mentioned Doomfist several times.
He knows everything about the
Rhombus.
Lore.
I know Rhombus.
There's a lot, but this has been, people have been so amped and like waiting for this for so long that like I'm almost in shock in a way because I can't really believe that he's actually out.
It's really weird because, yeah, I think a lot of people even thought that he would be the first new hero, let alone the 25th, which is significant because I feel like after hearing Jeff from Overwatch talk about
Jeff from the Overwatch team.
After hearing him talk about how they don't want to make too many heroes and they want to be balanced and like kind of refined, I feel like he's a staple as the 25th of like, okay, I don't think we're going to get a new hero in that game for a while. I think we're going to get maps, but I don't think anymore for a while.
I think they said that they were working on three new heroes and that included Orisa, who came out a few months ago. So Orisa, Doomfist, and I think we might get one more by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, Sombra came out in like, I think November last year, so maybe some point before Thanksgiving or Christmas, maybe.
Yeah,
see you later.
That's really all I've been playing this week. It's been a short week, and I've been kind of busy, but Overwatch was super fun.
Yeah. I've been trying out this game.
Chrono Trigger.
I should be playing.
Oh!
You just like digitally implant the Chrono Trigger.
Okay, so side note.
I've been playing Chrono Trigger.
Okay. Side note, with the Steam sale, I bought RPG Maker MV. And I want to make an RPG style like, you know, the original Final Fantasy games or Chrono Trigger. So me going back to Chrono Trigger would definitely be some good research. And I need to because it's a classic game and people
Ari,
love it so much.
Do you have MV?
Fantastic. I do have MV.
Yeah, you're building a game in it with Nick, right?
Yes, I am.
That's awesome.
I got on the cast.
So I've been giving Pete shit about this because I was like, why don't you just buy other games? And he's like, well, I want to make this. And I'm like, you're not going to make a game. I guarantee you. You're not going to make a full game.
I'm not going to start out with some huge... I'm not going to start out with some huge, gigantic thing to start out with. I'm going to do like a small demo-type map thing to start out and then maybe make something bigger. I really want to broaden my comprehension of game design and development and stuff like that. So, you know, I've been watching videos and stuff as prep work. I am into it.
Respect. I'm just giving you shit because I'm your brother.
I know. I have a tendency to start things and not finish them, i.e. Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. But really, though, you've been playing Drawn to Death.
Yeah, I started the game Drawn to Death. It was free on PlayStation a few months ago. It's essentially like this edgy arena shooter. The opening of the game, it's a live action of like these kids sitting in a high school classroom. And then it's like a POV and the character looks down and they're sketching doodles on their notebook. And that becomes the title screen. And the entire game is rendered where it looks like it's doodles and scribbles in a notebook. And it's got this entire punk rock, like sketchbook aesthetic for the entire thing, which is interesting. But overall, it's kind of a flat game. I don't think I'm really going to go back to it, but I really just wanted to try it out.
So you don't have anything else taken out of Gamefly right now?
No, I just installed Elite Dangerous, and I'm going to play that next week, which is totally different from all these games.
Yeah.
It's receiving pretty good reviews, like sevens and eights around, yeah. I think, which is cool because it's very No Man's Sky-y, and I think that they did it better. Yeah. Elite Dangerous was also early access, wasn't it?
I think it was. It's been on PC for a while.
So it finally came out on consoles. We talked about it last week, I believe.
Yeah, I'm sandbox games always kind of interest me because I'm always like, well, to what extent is it a sandbox? Oof. And what can I do? And I know we talked about open world and sandbox games.
Now
game
you can't
stuff.
Look at a game on not critically. It's like, I know. Fucking break it down to its tiny parts.
Well, yeah, you know, like another game I played Ark for a while, and that game is actually getting its console.
It's
and
coming out?
It's getting its actual release, and this is kind of crappy, but the, you know, there was an early access price of, I think, $30 or something on PC. Mm-hmm. That price is back up to $60 in anticipation to be able to be at the same price as the console release. That's coming in, I think, early August. But, yeah, it's just another sandbox-type game that I wanted to try. I don't know.
I love them sandboxes.
I want to see Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, playing the sand.
Yeah.
Playing the sand.
I will play. I might play it tonight. All right. That's what's lit up for me.
You guys want to go to the topic of the day?
Sure.
Let's do it.
It's time for topic of the day.
All right. The busy gamer. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a dad.
Oh, my God.
Yo, dad.
Yo, dad.
Let me tell you.
Time constraints, responsibilities, how to manage your gaming time and time in general, I guess.
Okay, so what are our personal time constraints for gaming? Right now, I'm just working part-time. I'm going to be going to grad school on
the
4th. So I'm doing a lot of work for the cast in between, but I do have a good amount of time. So I'm not too constrained necessarily.
Yeah, Ari, tell us a little bit about
you. Guys work full-time, and Ari is a recent father, so that's a whole other layer of things to worry about.
So tell us about your personal time constraints.
So
in a list form.
Full-time father, full-time husband, full-time work, full-time mortgage.
Oh, Jesus.
Full-time mortgage.
Yeah, you're going to go home and battle your mortgage tonight? Yeah. Better mortgages, get a better baseball ingredients.
Ari boxes his mortgage every night.
Oh my God. I don't even have time for this podcast. Sorry,
dude,
guys.
Yeah,
I got to go.
He's actually not even.
We're lucky we got you for an hour. We actually hired someone to be Ari, and this isn't him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, man. I mean, that's hard. I find it difficult myself just working full-time. I mean, no, I really don't. Never mind.
You have a switch.
Yes, but
actually,
no.
Yeah, you know what?
The way you
I don't find it hard
it.
At all.
The way you've dealt with it is you have a switch, so you and your commute is like a lot of hours
a 20
week.
Minutes.
So you are able to fit in a substantial amount of gaming because you're using your switch, and you see people doing that all the time.
I play.
Nick might be getting
so
a switch soon to be playing that, and that's going to be maximizing some hours.
Yeah, I play it while I'm driving. You know.
Yeah.
No,
while
lunch
he's
hour.
Driving.
Yeah, I guess for me, the Switch really is an amazing thing for commuters, especially those that don't have to pay attention while they commute. But other than that, when I get home, I mean, most of the time I'll just hop on. I get home pretty late. I get home at like 8 o'clock most nights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to squeeze it in. I think I'm actually pretty bad at time management now thinking about it because I don't work out enough and I don't do other shit enough.
Yeah.
Because I'm always just doing stuff for this damn podcast. but I'm like, you know, most of the time just we'll come home and play Battlegrounds with the boys or, you know, whatever. It's not that crazy. Nick, you're new into the full-time world. How is it for you? Because I've been doing this for like 2.5 years now.
I mean,
I had my internship days that I was working full time. So
oh, okay.
Yeah. I was used to it by this point. You just got to know when you can stop playing by. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, which is something that you're bad at.
No, you're good at it.
No, I'm good at it. Pretty good.
I'm going to go to bed by 10:30. I can play like 2 hours of Battlegrounds every night.
Yeah,
if
and then
you
start playing a game, and it's 3 hours later.
Yeah,
and then it's three. And you don't want to go to work anymore, and you know, no.
And then you're like, hold on, wait a minute, do I want to go back to school? Yeah. Rethink my whole life.
Rethink my life.
Yeah, that's what gaming can do to you late at night.
Yeah,
Ari, I'm wondering, like, the amount of hours that you've been able to put in as a gamer before you were a father. Like, how much do you think you were able to do, and then now, how has it changed, and how have you like sort of adapted? Because I know Nick has told me a few times, he's like, yeah, we're playing NHL tonight, and Ari's like got his baby next to him, and it's like really low, so he has to like whisper or something.
Yeah, so beforehand I was kind of like a little bit more of a hardcore gamer.
Yeah,
so I was playing like, you know, an hour or two a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was great, but once the baby was born,
yeah,
My current schedule is whenever the baby and my wife are asleep.
Okay. Hardcore so dad.
I call it gaming within the margins.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Gaming within the margins.
So we'll be like hanging out watching TV and Martha will be like, I'm feeling a little tired. And I'm just like, yeah, you should go to bed.
Well,
PlayStation controller's already in your hands.
I mean, it's kind of awesome for you, though, because you get to essentially set your kid up now with the life of gaming.
I can't
wait.
Are
you looking forward to this?
Definitely.
Nick mentioned that you already have Sonic Mania pre-ordered.
Oh, definitely.
And you're going to put this in.
Yeah, because I got the collector's edition and it comes with a Sonic statue. And that's going right into his room so he can stare at it from his crib.
Hell yeah. Just grow up with Sonic. I mean, that's a great way to grow up. I grew up with Sonic and Sonic Crash Bandicoot. Those were my two really like big ones. And then also, like, I don't know, other shit. But yeah, that's
what
something
if he
cool.
doesn't like Sonic?
He's
going to like Sonic.
He likes Sonic.
You're going to learn today.
The indoctrination has begun.
There's no choice.
I mean, John got him a little chocobo from Final Fantasy man. Already. So where he doesn't have a choice.
Sometimes at night when he's sleeping, I stand over him and just go, Sonic, Sonic.
I actually have like a funny specific memory. I guess I can mention a story time if we're talking briefly about that. But are there games that you feel work good for you as a busy gamer? Because yeah. I know for me, like I was talking about with the Switch, I really like things that are multiplayer, that I can hop in with a friend on the train mm-hmm. or just like, you know, blast out a single player, like a side scroller like you like, because I'm really into those now.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of game that you think works?
So I've actually found that I've been gravitating towards shorter games.
Yep. Yeah.
So less RPGs, less things where I have to spend 80 hours to get through it, because that 80 hours will be stretched out over maybe half a year.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
With my schedule.
Yeah.
So, and I also found that games that allow you to save a lot, mm-hmm. I like a lot more. One thing that pissed me off about Mass Effect, they actually turn off the save function depending on what kind of mission you're on.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
Story mission, and you're up against this hard boss, and your kid's crying, and you're like, ah,
you're like, all right, well, now I have to quit out and go
back. Yeah, I feel like Mass Effect is a pretty difficult game as like a dad, full-timer life dude. Because, I mean, yeah, it's an open world, long-ass games are tough. You know, if you're not commuting on a train or something and you don't have the time to do it,
yeah.
I definitely enjoy shorter games more now, because back in the day, I would be like, I want like 150 hours out of, you know, whatever, Far Cry or, mm-hmm. you know, and now I'm just kind of like, I am so down with the 2-hour Edith Finch playthrough. Yeah. Like, yep. I'm just so cool with that. And I actually really appreciate games that can get their narrative done in 2 hours or six yeah. hours as opposed to like 30, because it's an interesting difference of storytelling.
Yeah, same here. I'm not necessarily as busy as you guys, but in the same way of like, I've gravitated towards short stories over novels even at this point. So an experience like playing The Unfinished Swan, which I played last week, or playing a game like Edith Finch, which I really wanted to play, or Journey, or any of these games that are like maybe below 10 hours, seems much more manageable and seems like, I mean, I'd like to play a few amazing indie games like in 1 week or whatever.
Not me.
I at the same time,
Nick is crazy.
Having
Nick's
one
hardcore
long-withstanding
shit.
Game, like I do want to go back and play Persona 5, but that's like 90 hours.
Yeah, you're going to embark on that journey?
Yeah.
No, but Nick, your schedule is good, though, because you work earlier and you get home earlier. See, I'm home at 8, so I really don't have that much at night to play, but you get home at what, 5 most days?
If I'm working the early shift, but I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
So I get home, well, I also go to the gym, so it's not that much time.
Yeah.
getting ripped. Swole.
Getting swole. I found that drop in and play games are useful if you're busy. Like, example, we play Overwatch. We can play a couple rounds of that. Our friend Mary Leia, she plays MMOs a lot. And, you know, you can kind of drop in, do some AFK fishing.
That don't end.
You know, do just whatever. And that's that, you know, that works for some people. I know a lot of people play a Call of Duty or whatever. Rather than having something that's long form. And one of the things we have here is like, what about games that don't? And we kind of mentioned this a little bit, but you were saying like, if you're playing Andromeda and it's like, you know, a little bit longer, if you don't get to play it at a certain minimum frequency, then it kind of ruins the experience.
Agreed.
Right? And I've noticed this too. Like, one of the reasons I really like the Mass Effect games, and I know you do too, when the third game came out, I was like, it was like a busy part of my school year and like high school. And I purposely waited till the summer to play that game because I didn't want to, you know, like if you have like a save file in Skyrim and it's like, you come back to it after like a year or a couple months and you're like, where the hell was I? And then you just want to restart and just restart everything. It's kind of that experience. Like, I want to make sure I can do it all in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But are there other games that you guys think like really don't work for somebody who's a busy gamer?
Well, you said MMOs, and I think that's interesting.
They do to an extent, but they don't to another extent.
I have two examples. Or maybe I'll just start with one. Animal Crossing, that game stresses me out. Anything with time constraints or like real world, like real time games, that stresses me out. Because I know, okay, cool, if I don't come back to my village within a week, I'm going to have weeds everywhere and everyone's going to move out. And the penguin lady is now like a shitty giraffe dude who's pissed all the time. And I don't want to live in a village with this asshole.
Yeah.
So I'm sick of this damn game. So that type of shit like really stresses me out and kind of like deters me. I know some games like Pikmin or like Dead Rising also have these time restraints. Persona, like that stuff, like I don't want to be stressed if I'm gaming and I don't have much time. I want it to be enjoyable and not make me feel like I'm like shitty at work or like stressed again. That's my example, but do you feel like you can relate to that at all?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm avoiding Dark Souls.
I was about to say that because I like a particularly challenging game. You know, maybe you'll spend you only have like an hour or two to play this week, and then you just spend that losing the whole time.
Exactly.
Well, and then it's like, well, what did I do? Like, you want to have a certain instant gratification when you play sometimes, you know? And so if you're just losing and you're not winning, it's almost like a depressant rather than actually like a nice feeling of playing, which I've noticed.
Totally.
Easy mode.
But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So like, are you more apt to put a game into easy mode if it means you can
Hard to normal.
Okay.
if I go to easy, I might just give it up.
Yeah. That's interesting. I always just went normal my whole life, so I've like never really... I always liked going normal and then being like, now I got to go hard. I don't like starting the worst because I like to maybe play again and be like, whoa, look at this.
Yeah.
Like the same way I want to play Zelda. Yes, I mentioned Zelda. They have the hard mode coming in. It actually separates the save and there's lots of new shit, which sounds cool to me. Like you get a second save and stuff. So
there mountains in the background?
There's mountains in the background. It's fucking beautiful. Let me tell you about them. You can reach them.
Yes, you can.
Let me tell you that you can climb them and everything. There's lightning and water and animals.
Ari's taking shots right now.
He's taking shots.
That was the fakest air horn ever.
I don't know. Another thing to consider is episodic games. And I know, Ari, you said you played Life is Strange, and that could be like, all right, tonight I'm going to kick out this one episode, and it's like a couple hours or whatever.
Bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, bite-sized chunks. And we have, obviously, you guys love Final Fantasy VII, so we're going to have an episodic Final Fantasy VII game. Maybe not like as short form of episodic.
They're quote-unquote, every episode's a full game.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about that.
So, but that is a bit more manageable.
Going back to Dark Souls, though, I will say my own personal experience with Bloodborne, which was my first Souls game.
Yeah,
that stretched over a year for me. And I think what was great about Bloodborne and also Dark Souls 3 is that their co-op modes are so good. And like, yeah, it can be a little glitchy and it's weird. It's not just like load into the matchmaking. It's like you got to like ring a bell and be in the Dingus Hall in order to like have your friend come in.
Dingus Hall.
It's like,
no, it's true though.
And it's ridiculous. But at the same time, like those games get very much easier when you have friends and it's really enjoyable to play through them. And I never felt like, where am I again? Because the story's so fucking vague anyway that I'm not like, oh, like I don't know who this man is. Like I never knew who he was, so I'm okay with it. So I think, yes, it's difficult, but I know that your brother John just played through it with you and he loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's doable, you know?
I already played Dark Souls.
Yeah, if you get it, I mean, get it on PS4. We'll play again.
Fucking dope.
Do you guys consider your time constraints when you buy a game? Like
yes.
If you're at the shop, and you're like, or the internet shop.
At the shop.
Definitely.
In the virtual shop, and you're like, well, do you look at the hours that it would take to play the game?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely do that. And it's just like in general. Like, I know that RPGs are much longer than like a simple action game.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, no, I do. I definitely do that. And it's interesting, like, because my commute, I also consider what am I going to be playing with friends? I have like a list of like, what will this game do for me?
Yeah.
Where will this fit into my life? Is this going to be a 2 or 5 hour indie game that I'm like, okay, this is great. I get a little experience. Maybe there's a nice, like, profound story in there.
Yeah.
Or am I getting like a Mario Kart where the boys are coming over and we're chugging beers in the basement on a Saturday night? Or is it like, I don't know, a game like an open world game or an MMO that I'm like, oh, I'll check in and get my dailies, and I got my penguin sliding around behind me, and I'm riding my horse to go get armor or some shit. Like, there's like this long list of things to consider.
Yeah.
But I generally now don't get into games that are like 80 hours. Like, I can't do an 80 hour game anymore. It's just something that's really too hard for me. Unless it's co-op and we can spread it out like a Souls game or something.
Yeah. But even so, we haven't gone back into Souls in a while.
Right.
So.
You guys still haven't finished the DLC.
But no. I am psyched to play Final Fantasy VII, the remake, because I like the episodic idea. It's going to give me enough time to like experience that and not really. I know, like, ideally I could binge through that game in, like, a weekend. Like, I've seen my friends start a new save file when we're drinking and then just get, like, you know, halfway through the game while we're hanging out. But I do like the idea of being able to just sit with it and be done and move on. Yeah. I think episodic games are great because a lot of adults like us who have jobs and shit, we look forward to, like, our Sunday show. Like, Game of Thrones is on. That's my time, right? Yeah. So you get that same thing with the game. And I think it's really a good way for people like us to get into shit.
You kind of touch on a different variable that I have to look for, too, when I'm looking at a game. I have to see if my wife and maybe my future son will enjoy it with me.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's true.
That is totally a variable. And like, can I pass this down or is it like ridiculous and like immature or whatever?
Yeah, you'll have like a secret games cabinet somewhere.
Yeah,
that you'll find.
Trash cabinet.
Dad, I found your games.
Oh my God.
What does Grand Theft Auto mean?
Oh no.
Tell you when you're older, son.
So there's another thing too, like as far as how deep the narrative in a game is, if you're a busy gamer and you're not really able to, and we talk about the like minimum frequency, but if there's a game that is supposed to have a complex narrative, like maybe a Metal Gear game,
No one's got time for
Metal Gear. No one's got time, but like...
Even when I was unemployed, I didn't have time for Metal Gear.
Nah.
But games that are just kind of like simple and dumb, like maybe... I mean, some platforming games are very
Shantae.
Simple. Shantae, for example. Or like Crash Bandicoot. Like that's something that it seems like you can just hop in.
Platformers
and it's very simple. Yeah. So that's another thing that like, okay, maybe I'll go with this game over Uncharted, you know?
Yeah,
like that.
That's another thing. Like that's a great point because again, like MMOs... Think about it. Oh, I got to learn 50 systems. There's 1,000 things on my user interface. That's just like, no, I don't want to deal with this. This is bullshit. I already look at Excel sheets all day at work. God damn it. I don't want to do that in my video games.
It depends what MMO it is.
You got to take a class to understand the play.
Yeah, right? It's like YouTube tutorials on how to spec your character.
And how to live.
Not about that life.
And an MMO doesn't have a pause button.
Nope.
So when you have a baby, a pause button becomes very important.
Yes, it does. Which I specifically remember, I was bringing it up earlier. But yeah, I think, why don't we just move on to story time so we can talk about that?
Sure.
Because we're pretty much done here, right? Yeah. Got any closing statements?
Well, I mean, if you guys listening in have any experiences with your time management as a gamer, let us know. Like how do you manage? What kind of games do you think?
What do you recommend?
Are best for someone who's very busy? Maybe someone who's a recent father. Like, hey, here's a good game for you that might even have some longevity for when the child can play the game.
Yo, Dad, maybe there's a game that you could pass down to your child. Who knows?
Yeah, so
let us know. PraiseTheGameCast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Anyway, well, on that note, let's move to story time.
Hey. Tell me a story.
Story time.
All right, so real quick, because I already started talking about it, I had a memory of us being in a PS4 chat together, and I was playing through Doom at the time, and I remember specifically being like, oh shit, it's baby time, and then you just being on the mic, like, you were in the mic, and then you left, and then we just hear, like, baby time going on, because I think Martha and the baby went to bed, and then they woke up, and you're like, oh shit, it hit the fan. You guys are playing, like, NHL or something, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Change the diaper.
Very short story, but it was funny because, you know, you can hear the baby life in the background.
It's unfortunate you guys are part of PC Master Race.
Why?
I can't jump into your parties anymore.
Oh, we'll get Discord.
Right. Ari used to do that a lot.
Just get Discord. Discord is the best.
Discord.
It really is. It's so great.
We used to leave our party chats just open, and then Ari would just fucking just be like, yo, what up? Jump into them. We're playing Destiny. Then just scream something.
And go AFK for a half hour.
And then be like, Ari, you're still here? What the fuck?
It would be an hour later. He'd be like, you just hear a baby in the background. We're like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on? Well, what do you guys have for story time? You guys have anything going
you
down
guys got
in your
some
brains?
Brotherly historical stories?
Yeah, tell us.
I have an odd one.
Oh shit!
Oh yeah,
an odd one.
A little bit. I think it's actually before Nick's time.
Predates my life.
You weren't even a fetus.
So when I was growing up, I was about 5 years old. I first played Nintendo for the first time.
Oh yeah,
and it kind of changed my life.
Was this the NES?
The NES, Super Mario Brothers.
The Nintendo.
1.
Yes.
The Nintendo.
Yeah. The.
And I just fell in love with it. Just kind of like people get transported by books or movies.
Yeah.
This was definitely like my transportation, and I was able to control it. That was the greatest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whenever I went to my friend's house, we would always do that. And I had this great idea. Came back and like, hey, Ma, for Christmas, can I get a Nintendo? And no. Nick, what do you think she said?
She probably took out the belt and beat you for even suggesting it.
She's pretty conservative, I think. Especially at the time, like parents were like, oh, video games are going to rot your brain. You're never going to do your homework.
These were in the days where it's like, yeah, Magic the Gathering is the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, absolutely not. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
I would beg my grandparents. I would beg her. Like every single time we're in a department store or Toys R Us, never happened.
Oh,
dang. So to
compensate, you stole one.
No. Probably should have done that.
Where do you think we were going with this?
I don't know.
But she was always trying to inspire us to be artistic.
Oh.
So she would buy us art supplies, and it came with this really long roll of paper. So I would just unroll it in the hallway and draw my own Super Mario levels with a pencil and paper, and then draw my own sprites on a separate paper, cut them out, and then have John direct the characters.
Oh my god,
so
that's
would
so cool.
Sit there and be like, forward, 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 jump, jump, and I'd be there playing with the little paper sprites.
That's
and
awesome.
That was our Super Mario for like 3 or 4 years before I got a Game
that
Gear.
That makes wow. me sad, but that's also incredibly
that
creative.
That's fucking sad. That's fucking beautiful, dude.
Yeah, you don't have so those much. Left, do you?
Like no, they're definitely gone.
Long gone.
Once we got burned. Real video games, I threw it away.
That is
my
such
mind
a
started
cool
rotting.
Story.
That
is really
my
cool.
mind started.
Oh, my
rotting.
My mind was rotting long. Like my grandparents gave in. Everyone gave in. It was just like I want GameCube. I want the Game Boy. I want all of it. And then I'm trash now. Now I'm in the garbage.
Yeah, look at him. He has a podcast. Like what kind of hooligan?
Yeah, scumbag. That's a great story.
Yeah, what friend had a
paper video games?
What friend who had the NES? It was Jim Mattia and Mitch Kotkin.
Oh,
two different friends. I was obsessed. Like, if we went to like a friend's house or like a family barbecue and they had Nintendo,
let me explain.
Get
that.
The hell out of my way.
When we used to go to our cousin's house and they had a Genesis, and it was just like, fuck off, family. We're going upstairs to play the Genesis. Haven't seen you in 6 months.
Wouldn't
but
say,
fuck off.
Wait, so was the Game Gear a little bit more acceptable because it was handheld and it wasn't like intruding on TV space in the house?
I went with my grandparents, Toys R Us.
Oh,
they didn't realize what they were buying me. 11-year-old Ari has a game system.
Ding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Speaking of grandparents not realizing what they bought you, I got the Diablo like power chest or whatever the hell it was, and it came with the Diablo 2 expansion pack and StarCraft 1.
And it was like,
and Brood War. And yeah. And they didn't realize what it was, but it just had, you know, it just had a casual devil on the fucking front of it, and it was rated mature. And I remember my mom was pissed I had it, but it was too late. I already installed it on grandpa's computer and I was playing it. So that was it. I had something. So your story reminded me. Have you ever played Super Mario Maker?
I've never done that.
Because that is exactly what you're talking about. Are you aware of this
Mario
game?
Mario levels.
Yeah.
It was recently on Reddit because people are just way
out of
too
control.
Ridiculous.
It's out of control.
It is out of control. You can't miss a button. And
a
it's
guy,
perfect. You have to be perfect to play it.
There's this guy who's been spending like thousands of hours trying to beat his own level that he made because he made it insanity impossible.
It's literally you cannot move. You cannot miss one command.
Nope,
you have to be perfect.
Pixel
it's
perfect.
Like,
yeah.
Literally pixel perfect. I don't understand it, but I feel like that would be really cool if you were able to play that now, thinking about the paper actual.
I've definitely been interested in game making for a long time, and that's why I have RPG Maker.
Wait, there you
so
go.
Are you telling me you made the original Paper Mario?
Oh,
oh my God.
Shit.
You should get his royalties.
Like, there were like scouts from Nintendo like looking in through your window like what's this kid making? And they're like, that's a good idea. And then they just stole it, and suddenly
paper
that
Mario
came out.
Oh, John, call me. We're calling the lawyer.
Oh, my God.
Calling the lawyer.
I had a mini story kind of tagging on to Andrew's thing with our grandparents. Is when Metal Gear Snake Eater was coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, I want this. And she's like, all right, well, I'll tell Grandma to get it. And then my grandma refused to buy it because when she was at the store, they were like, back in the day, I remember people.
They still do it.
Okay. Retailers would be like, hey, are you aware that this is rated M for mature? Barack Obama's behind the counter. Are you aware that this is rated M for mature?
My fellow Americans.
And they'll turn, you know, they'll show you what's on it. And she told my mom, she was like, there's blood and gore and murder. As if, like, imagine on the back of it, it's like M for mature and M for murder. And it just says murder. And she wouldn't buy it. So then my mom just still bought it for me. But
yeah. I remember my first M-rated game. I remember my first M-rated game. I think
what
I rented Resident Evil on GameCube, the remake.
And I played that and loved it, but then I couldn't buy it because it was too mature. And then the first M-rated game that I convinced my parents to get me was Dead to Rights. You guys remember that game?
Yeah.
So it's like this shitty ass like cop game where you're this like dumbass looking
cop. The one with
cop
the clowns?
Dude.
Weren't there like evil clowns?
There's a stripper scene. That's why I was rated M. So it was like gory, and there's like bullet time. Max, it was a Max Payne ripoff, and you had a dog who would like eat people for you, and it was really gritty and like shitty looking. But there was a stripper mini game.
Oh,
and I remember specifically my friend Brian from down the street where we grew up. I had him over, and we're like, "Quick, shut the door!" And we got in the strip club, and I'm like, "Down A B Y Z." Oh shit, we're doing a stripper minigame. It was like
sweating.
A timing minigame, which was a thing in this. I mean, it still happens. You go to Grand Theft Auto 5, you go to the strip club, you throw too much money, you get kicked out. Don't get too gropey in that Grand Theft Auto 5 strip club.
Don't get too gropey.
Because you know you're going to get smashed.
Don't get overzealous in that strip club, boy.
Yeah, exactly. So I learned how to treat a stripper. First of all, be kind, be gentle. Don't click I or Y too quickly or else you'll
ruin
the game.
In real life, when you're in the strip club and you got your controller in front of you, don't click Y too quickly.
Could you imagine showing up to a strip club and being like,
a strip club?
Magic cube. Imagine showing up with like a PlayStation controller and be like, "Hey, I'm here for the mini game," and you just sit down. The stripper's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And he's like, "Hold on, I'm clicking down, up, B, left, right." Oh,
I'm playing with my joystick.
Some
some like painfully unaware child who's like, "This is the reality. This is real life, right?" And then they just try to do it in real life.
I mean, that's a great YouTube video for like a troller who like goes in and does stupid shit.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm sorry, we're 12 years old.
Anyway, I think that's about it. Thank you so much for coming onto the cast, Ari.
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. Woo. We've been wanting to do this for a while.
We out here. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be back.
Yeah, we out here.
Nice.
We gotta have the other brother eventually.
Yeah, whenever you're not dadding out. You know,
I'll be doing that for the next 18 to 30 years.
Yeah, he's pretty dadded.
True.
And well, I never spoke to Ari again.
Maybe we'll come over.
See you later.
See you later.
See you later.
Well, on that note, Sombra. You guys want to do the thing we do?
Well, hold on. So we have if you want to check us out, we have our website on praisegame.com. We have all of our handles down there as well for Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, everything else, Facebook.
We've been doing all the videos, all the content.
Yeah, all the content.
Yeah, the scrontent.
If you have any questions or whatever for us, hit us up at praisegamecast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's it. Stay woke. Stay lit, as always. And
that's how you're going to end this.
And
disregard him and praise the game.
Mikey, no.
Praise the game.
Praise it.